Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. The U.S. presidential elections, news of potential COVID-19 vaccines with more than a 90% efficacy, and not forgetting the shelving of the much-anticipated mega IPO of Ant Group. The markets had no shortage of news to react to this November, and joining us now on Market View to help us digest the month that was is Terence Wong, the CEO of Azure Capital. Terence, thank you so much for joining us and welcome back.
Hey, Rach, really happy to be hearing from you again.
Lovely to have you. So, Terence, you know, there was so much going on for the month of November. Markets were reacting to the vaccine news. Obviously, we had the U.S. presidential elections. But what really stood out for you this month?
Well, it is a confluence of positive factors. Like you mentioned, the vaccine on the vaccine front, very successful. There were a lot of hype around it. And I think that, you know, we are getting close to some form of vaccine. It will be introduced in December, and I think investors are extremely excited about that. And also the U.S. elections, it was a lot smoother than many had expected. And even though Donald Trump has not really conceded, as we move closer along, Biden's win seems to be a given, and I think, again, investors are buoyed by that. These events actually work favorably to reduce the risk premiums via reduced uncertainties, and that has propelled the U.S. markets to new heights. I know it's unbelievable, right, given that, you know, we're in the midst of a pandemic, but yet the U.S. markets continue to march to new records.
And that's it. I was going to say, just, you know, on the back of that, speaking of the U.S. markets moving to new records, let's talk about what's been happening here at home with the STI, because the STI has been performing well for the month. We did see it declining at the end of trade on Friday, but it's still above the 2,800 mark. It was hovering below the 2,500 mark at the start of the month. So how do you see the local markets positioned in light of everything that's happening on a global scale? As you mentioned, we are in the midst of a pandemic, but we're still receiving quite an abundance of positive news as we head in towards the end of the year.
Yeah, no, I said a month back, you know, to hold on to cash costs, good opportunities will be there in the not too distant future. But what I didn't bargain for was that it was almost immediate. It was the markets in November at the start, you know, pounced at the get-go. It was really, really a strong comeback, nearly 20% for the STI. And, you know, I have to drop back to maybe 2009 to see such a strong performance or similar performance on a month-to-month basis. And I think that there were a couple of reasons. I mean, key is that globally, the markets have been good. But, you know, the global markets have been good, but STI has been lagging behind. And I think that's also a key reason. You know, there's been a rotational play into laggards. And in terms of the Singapore market, it is probably one of the biggest next to Thailand. And Thailand, you can imagine, there have been all these political problems. And yet, Singapore is ranked in the same league as Thailand. So I think that that's sort of unfathomable, because many of these companies are actually quite solid. But because Singapore is seen to be an exchange where there are a lot of old economy stocks, the banks, real estate companies, that is why they've been lagging behind more tech-laden exchanges like, say, the U.S. markets, Nasdaq in particular, S&P, even Taiwan, South Korea, closer to home, right, and China. All of them do have they're heavily weighted towards the tech sector. But Singapore, old economy, the very, very value place, actually have carried quite a heavy weight on the STI. But that said, because it has been a big laggard, when investors start to buy in or take notice, they realize that, hey, these guys are trading at, you know, below book value, most significantly below book value, and they are trading at very, very low P/Es, and therefore they've been buying the laggards in Singapore, and we saw a big surge in the markets in the month of November.
Is this kind of movement on the SGI sustainable, and then also which sectors are you looking at, Terence?
Okay, first on the sustainability, and I think that given that there are very few queues in the Singapore market in the very near future, because December has been traditionally a quiet month. You got to look at the global markets. And with the U.S., one of the more troubling signs I see is that, well, it's not really all bad news, but then one of the bigger sticking issues is that there are a lot of fund flows, and the fund flows are actually, given that many of these guys are balanced funds, and with the equity markets having seen such a strong surge, there will be some form of rebalancing. JP Morgan have recently came out a report that said that, you know, there could potentially be up to $300 billion of equity selling into the end of December by pension funds that actually rebalances their portfolio on a quarterly basis. Goldman sort of echoes this thought by saying that, you know, for this $7 trillion universe, there could be a selling of up to $160 billion of equities. Mm. So whether is it 160, 300, you know, 400, these are really mind-boggling big numbers, and it's certainly something that investors have to be mindful about. So if there is going to be a rebalancing, there's going to be sell-off in equities, I think that, you know, December will be a month to really watch out for as the markets take a breather. And if the U.S. does come off, then I believe that the Singapore market will fall in sympathy.
We're speaking with Terence Wong, CEO of Azure Capital. So Terence, that said, given that you're expecting a possible sell-off in December, do you still hold the opinion that cash is king?
Well, I think that it's not a crime to actually hold on to a little bit of cash. Mm-hmm. I still believe there are, even with this run-up in share prices, a lot of the old economy stocks are worth looking at, not the banks. I think the banks have fell up pretty much, but some of the property mm-hmm. companies certainly do deserve some form of attention, given that they are trading below book value.
Right.
But I think, as I mentioned just a minute ago, that there could be potential that with the market sticking on breather, there could be potential for, you know, good opportunities.
Mm. So lastly, Terence, I want to ask you, while we've got you on the line, what are you going to be looking out for in the week ahead? We've got a lot of PMI data coming out. We've got the Fed, Singapore's official PMI numbers as well, not to mention some news from OPEC Plus in the next day or so. What are you going to be watching?
Oh, loads of data. I think that official manufacturing, non-manufacturing PMI figures from China, mm-hmm. that will likely be the first set of data that could have an impact on market sentiment over in the U.S. Tuesday night. On Tuesday, FOMC Chairman Jerome Powell will actually be testifying before Congress, and I believe investors will be looking out for fresh clues regarding, you know, possible adjustments to asset purchase program. On Thursday or Friday, they're looking at some labor statistics, and if the non-farm payrolls come in better than expected, that would actually, I think, give a little bit of life, near-term life to the market.
Wonderful. Well, Terence, thank you so much for sharing all those insights with us.
All right. No problem, Rach.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you again.
Likewise. We've been speaking with Terence Wong, CEO of Azure Capital, right here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.